God mysteries. We hope that it will be two lessons, the one last week and the one now. Not that there are not more things that could be and probably need to be said, but that there are other things to undertake. Among the things that we looked at last week is the New Testament usage of the word mystery. That mystery as used in the New Testament is not something mysterious, some things which cannot be understood. That's not the way the word mystery is used. In the New Testament usage of the word mystery, mystery is something which for a long period of time had been kept as a secret, hidden, but which is now revealed. And in the New Testament usage is that even though the hidden thing is now revealed, it is still not understood by those who do not get God's help or the Holy Spirit help. So mystery is still a mystery to some, because they do not look to go to God to guide them in their understanding of himself and of his will. We read quite a few passages last week relative to this point. One more passage, one or two, that I would like to just drop along, that not all men and women who may read the Bible, because people read the Bible for various reasons. There are men and women who read the Bible for superstitious reasons. You go to some homes and you will see the Bible on the pillow. And that is superstition. The Bible is not necessarily good on the pillow. It's good when it is studied, when it is read, understood, and we strive to follow it. So these passages that were shared last week on the point that there are many people, you know, the Bible speaks about ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes. So here is one more passage, one or two, that help us to understand this. Look at the passage of St. John chapter 7. And verse 17, let us hear it.
If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
A simple statement, eh? If any man will, That will really means willing. If any man is willing to do his will, that's what it is saying. In fact, if any man wants to do his will, that's what that passage is saying. If any man is willing to do his will, if any man wants to, man or woman, to do his will, that person will get God's, the Holy Spirit, help. And that is always so. When we read the Bible for other reasons, we may study it from now until thy kingdom come, and we do not understand it. It's confusing and perplexing to us, because God may see that we have no intention in trying to know him and his will to serve him. Look at St. John chapter 8 and verse 47.
He that is of God.
Start again.
He that is of God heareth God's words.
He that is of God.
Heareth.
Heareth. Wait. Here in this passage is not talking about the biological mechanics that help us to hear. Hear means understand. Read it again, brother.
He that is of God heareth God's
word. He that is of God, the man or woman who inclined to God, submissive to, wants to do his will, you will always be ahead in your understanding of God's will, because he will be helping you. So, God's mysteries. There are lots of God's plans and purposes which he kept hidden throughout the ages. In fact, last week I threw out a list of the many things, the many areas of mystery that the Bible speaks about. They were kept hidden from Gentiles. So much of God's plan and purposes were kept hidden from the Jews. They were kept hidden from the prophets of God. Wait. Even though these prophets prophesy or preach about what God planned to do in the future, these prophets didn't understand it themselves. But not only were these mysteries of the Almighty God kept hidden from the Gentile, from the Jews, from the prophet, they were kept even from the holy angel who ministered to the Almighty God around his throne. Yes. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 9 through 11, telling us that though the prophet prophesy or preach about these of God's plan, they were really hidden things to these prophets. Though the angels served the holy angel around God's throne, did and continue to do God's bidding, they too were not privy to God's plan. Listen, the passage, as the brother read in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 through verse 12. Let us hear it.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Now, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your
souls.
Wait. In this, well, let me not say in this lesson, because sometimes there are points that I plan to emphasize that other things may take over. But I have been saying from this pulpit for many years that man's salvation has been God's preoccupation down through the ages. When you read the entire Bible, all the things that the Almighty God did through the prophet, did with the Israelite and other nation, and all of it surround God's plan and purpose and preparation to provide redemption for sinful people like you and me. Start again at 1 Peter, brother, chapter 1, verse 9.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
The salvation of your soul. Watch here now. He's still speaking in verse 10 about the salvation of our soul. Wait. There is nothing you or I need more than this salvation. What are you saying? Brother Mitchell, I'm unemployed. You don't know, desperately I need a job. Yes, and may God provide a job for you if you need one. But you need salvation more than that job. That's right. Whatever. Are you ill? And is the priority in your life is for the doctor to help you get better health? Yes. And may God help you with that. But you need salvation in Jesus Christ more than all of that. So, the writer in verse 9 speaks about the salvation that comes at the end of our faith. He's still on the point of our salvation. Read verse 10 now.
Of which salvation?
You notice he's still on it? Of which? In other words, the same salvation that I've just mentioned, I'm still speaking about it. What he says about it.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently.
Wait, the prophets inquired, the Almighty God had hinted them by inspiring them to write about his plan and purpose, which in respect to this salvation, it was only in the planning and preparation in those days under the Old Testament system. The prophet became inquisitive and curious. Read now, brother.
Who prophesied of the grace.
They prophesy of the what?
The grace.
You notice that? So much of God's grace we need. It is God's grace that kept us here. Had he not been gracious to us, we wouldn't be here. Because we have given him reason to wipe us out. But God's grace in Jesus Christ gives us another chance. So what he said there, brother?
Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what?
They search what that grace was. And?
Or what manner of time.
And what time. You notice that there are two what. The first what is they didn't understand even what they were preaching and writing about. That is what things you and I now take for granted, you know. You and I can speak confidently, plainly now about Jesus Christ going on the cross. Are we all there? Wait, not just shedding his blood. As I've often said when I was growing up, you get the idea that one drop of Jesus' blood enough blood had to be shed from Christ's body to take his life. Remember that. As sinful as he was, it's not just giving blood, it's giving his life. Now sacrificing himself. Read.
Searching what?
Searching what?
Or what manner?
That is, what is this salvation that is to come that the Almighty God has inspired us to preach about and write about it? And what time will it come?
Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify.
That's right. Wait. This is telling us of the curiosity of these prophets. This is telling us that they didn't understand what they were writing about. Is God going to clear it up for them? Read on, brother.
When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ,
mm-hmm,
and the glory that should follow.
Mm-hmm.
Unto whom it was revealed.
Unto whom
it was revealed.
When they want to know what is it that they were really prophesying, preaching, and writing about, it was revealed to them, no doubt by the same Holy Spirit, what was revealed.
That not unto themselves.
That what they are preaching, prophesying about, what they were writing about, it did not really belong to them and to their time.
But unto us. They did minister the things.
They were writing and preaching about things that would come in this dispensation, in this age of Christianity. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? That God had many mysteries, that is, many things that he had kept from the then world, even from the prophets of all, even from the angel in heaven. Are we all there? Listen, what verse you start?
12.
You haven't read verse 12 yet.
Unto whom it was revealed.
Unto whom it was revealed.
That not unto themselves,
uh-huh,
but unto us,
uh-huh,
they did minister the things,
uh-huh,
which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel,
uh-huh,
unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent them down from heaven, which things no, the
that's
angels...
That's what I want in verse 12. Which things...
The angels...
Angels...
Desire to look into...
Angels were inquisitive because they didn't understand it either. This was real mystery. If you talk about somebody who can really hide things, it's God. Because for ages, thousands and thousands of years, the Almighty God hid all this in himself to reveal it, what the prophets became curious about, what angels became inquisitive about, their common sense knowledge to us today. And it is for this reason the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 10, let us hear it. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10.
To the intent,
that is, with this objective in mind.
To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places.
Wait, who is that, Brother Mitchell? Angels. Angels. That now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, to angels,
might be made known
When, brother, when?
Your might be made known.
Just above that, to the intent, what?
That no.
Now, the time in which we live, the age of Christianity, it is now that God is going to open the eyes of angels. Wait, let me back up. It is now that God is opening, because it is ongoing now. That now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be
made known.
Made known
by the church.
By what?
By the church.
By what?
By the church.
But the church is made up of human beings. Amen. Might be made known unto the angel. Angels are being educated, enlightened during the Christian age as they watch the unfolding of God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ taking place. Help me here, brother.
By the church, the manifold wisdom of God.
The manifold. Wait. The God wisdom has many sides. It's like a diamond. That's what the word manifold telling us that God's wisdom has many parts, many sides to it. But what I find fascinating is that the angel have to come to church. And member hears, my God. You think you grant God a favor when you drop by once a week? The Bible teaches that angels are with us in worship. In fact, they come here for enlightenment. That's what the passage is teaching. That now unto principalities and the powers in heavenly places, it is being revealed to them by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. By the church. It is the church that is enlightening angel. What a great God. What is the point? That God's secret, referred to by the Bible as God's mystery, many of which were kept not only from humanity, they were kept from angel. And the same source, the same institution God is using to enlighten humanity, he's using the same institution to enlighten angel. And you dare criticize, badmouth the body of Christ? Watch it. The manifold wisdom of the Almighty God. Truth about Jesus Christ. Truth about the church. Truth about our salvation and God's plan of salvation in Christ must never be treated lightly or be taken for granted. Why? Because these truths are stuff which solicit prophets and angel inquisitiveness and curiosity. These truths. Living in this age. Living in this time. Living beside of the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are living in the fullness of time. I need to repeat that. Living living this side of the cross of Jesus Christ, living in this age since Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are living in the fullness of time. That's right. You have read that term in the Bible. You have it in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let us hear it. And you have it in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse. It's really verse 10, but when you read it, let us have verse 9 and 10. In fact, I think that's the passage that was read this morning. What you said, Brother Mitchell, that living this side of the cross of Jesus Christ. Put another way, living in the Christian age. Put another way, living in the time when Christ brought the church and Christianity to reality. The Bible tells us that we are living in the age and in the time when God's mysteries have been revealed, and that we are living in the fullness of time. Let us hear the passage.
But when the fullness of time was come.
In fact, Ephesians, you're at chapter 3. What verse you start at?
This is Galatians 4. So if,
okay, four. Let me hear chapter 3, verse 3 through verse 5.
Even so, Galatians 3?
Not Galatians, Ephesians 3, 4 and 5. You'll soon read Galatians chapter 4, verse 4.
Whereby,
uh-huh.
When ye read,
mm-hmm.
ye may understand my knowledge
mm-hmm.
in the mystery of Christ,
uh-huh.
which in other ages.
He's telling us plainly that what is now being revealed to them, the apostles, it was not so in other ages.
Amen.
And what the Bible is dealing with here, the Bible is dealing with the past and the present and the future. Read, brother.
Which in other ages
uh-huh.
was not made known unto the sons of men,
uh-huh.
as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets.
That's a plain passage. The passage is telling us that what the apostle is writing about was not known to men and women in other ages. Why was it not? Because God felt that men and women could not handle that truth had it been given at that time. The world was just not ready for it. Read, brother.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that the Gentiles should be fellow hearers.
Did you know? Wait, that's one of God's mystery, you know. I may say a few points, and in fact, that's a very important piece of information the brother just touched on there. Because one of God's mystery is not that God going to save Jews and Gentiles. Well, back up. It's not that God going to save Gentiles with the Jews. No, the Almighty God had been hinting that from when, not when. When the Almighty God promised Abraham that through him shall all the nation of the earth be blessed, the Almighty God in effect was telling Abraham and all those who got that news that Gentile also will benefit from the blessing in Abraham. So that God would save Gentile is not the mystery. The mystery is that God going to save the Jews and Gentile, not in two churches. Because God does not love division. Now we need to get this. He's not going to save Jews and Gentile in a Jewish church and a Gentile church. Brother Mitchell, what's wrong with two? Well, God no like division. So many people have in their mind, you go to your church and I'll go to mine. No, even if we do not meet at the same location, we should go to the same one true church. And if you ever been thinking up here that, well, I can save in my church and you save in one. God is a God of grace. Well, it is the God of grace telling us. El Sim Samanit, brother, you stop at around verse 4.
Verse 6,
Ephesians 3. Read some more there.
That the Gentiles should be fellow hearers.
Fellow hearers.
And of the same body.
Wait. Of what?
And of the same body.
The last time I read, the body is the church.
Amen.
Huh? The body is the church. And here God in his revelation telling us that the Gentile and the Jews going to be saved in the same church.
Amen.
That was 3?
Chapter 3, verse 6.
We have just gotten that they'll be saving the same church?
Yes, brother.
Let me hear chapter 2 and verse 15 or 16.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity.
Wait. Having Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he got rid of that which was dividing Jews and Gentiles. That's why it is called enmity. Mm-hmm. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even
the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain.
Wait. Get this old English language. For to make in himself of the word twain means two. Mm-hmm. What?
One new man. So making.
Wait. That's a different chapter, you know. Same book. Previously, the brother was reading chapter 3. Verse 3 through around verse 6, that he's going to save the Jews and the Gentile in one church.
Amen.
And you telling me you are satisfied with the how many dozens of church, different name, different doctrine? Huh? And you talk about we are all worshiping the same God and we are using the same Bible. You know what? And that I have some news for you. That Cain and Abel were worshiping the same God. Cain and Abel got the same instruction. But God accepted only one of those worship. So here the brother now is at chapter 2.
Amen.
And verse 15, 16, somewhere there.
Verse 15.
Uh-huh. Read again now.
For to make in himself of twain one new man.
What is the twain, Brother Mitchell? Jews and Gen. The word twain is two. You see, you are fighting against God. You still want God to have half a dozen or a dozen or 100 different churches. because you like yours and I like mine. Let me tell you, you can't fight against God and win. God's intent in Jesus Christ is to save everybody in one true church. There might be a lot of false churches, man-made churches, but God is going to save the Jews and the Gentiles in only one.
Amen.
The verse was finished.
So making peace.
So making peace.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, we all are aware of the division of Jews and Gentiles. You know, the woman at the well tell Jesus Christ that the Jews would not have any dealing with the Gentile. That's the way it has been.
Amen.
Every time, when I go out and form a church out there and give it name Carl Mitchell, God, you know, as I talk, I hear the name of some church. I wonder where people get those names. And I wonder how the members in those churches don't question their leaders. So let's say something, man, I go out and organize my own church. Carl Mitchell Divine Worship Church. I can give it all the religious name I want. It will not be okay by God. Because God's eternal plan. The Bible is telling us, you know, that this is one of God's mysteries.
Amen.
When the brother read from Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 3 to verse 6, that's what that passage was about. That God, one of God's mystery, it's not so much that he's going to save also the Gentiles like he saved the Jews, but he's going to save both of them in one body. Are we all there? You know how we got here? We got here when I was moving on to the fact that living in this age, huh? You remember? Living in this time, this side of the cross of Jesus Christ, we are living in the what the Bible calls the fullness of time. What a bad picnic. We are living in the fullness of time. Listen, now you can read Galatians chapter 4. Well, let us have it first in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me hear verse 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. Let us hear it.
Having made known
unto us
the mystery of his will.
The mystery of his will.
According to his good pleasure, which he had purposed.
According to his good pleasure, which he had purposed.
In himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times.
So explain that.
He might.
Wait, notice this. The dispensation of the fullness of time. He might
gather together in one.
Here again, in one. You see, we like enough. We like plenty. That's why you hear people talk about find the church of your choice. God doesn't know any such thing. May I? Never forget this. Any way you and I can have the church of our choice, we can also have the Savior of our choice. Any way you and I cannot have a Savior of our choice, we can never have the church of our choice. God gives man one Savior. If you are not satisfied with that one, it's not only dog going to eat your supper, but Satan going to eat your supper. Here again, the Bible is speaking about one. The brother is reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Read.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of
that
times.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time.
He may gather together. In one. All things in Jesus Christ. Both which are in heaven. And which are on earth. Even in him.
Even in Christ. Notice now about the fullness of time in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4.
But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman.
You see what I see? This passage is telling you that when Jesus Christ came, the fullness of time was here. Notice the passage again. But when
the fullness of time was come.
Wait. What it is telling you, Christ could not have come until the fullness of time was here. That is, when time was mature, complete, for this aspect of God's work. But when the fullness of time was come,
God sent forth his son.
Wait, we are now living in the fullness of time. When Ephesians chapter 1 that the brother has just read, verse 10, talk about the fullness of time. It's talk about the time in which we now live. And this time, the fullness of time, will continue until judgment. Let me say a little more on that. The pre-Christian age, the thousands of years, are the hundreds of thousands of years that precede the coming of Jesus Christ. That is the patriarchal age, the Mosaical age. They have seen their end in Jesus Christ's first advent. And when Jesus Christ came the first time, that indicates to us that the fullness of time had come. But the Bible uses a term there that is quite interesting. Let us hear Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 again.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times.
Brothers and sisters, may I have your attention? In the dispensation of the fullness of time. Watch here now. The word dispensation, dear, is the word that was used referring to a person who managed the affair of an household. So the idea, the word dispensation is giving us here is that in the dispensation of the fullness of time is that Wait, there's another point I need before I forget it. You will notice that time is pluralized. That's right. It's not just time, it's times. And that is referring to the different ages. that have gone leading up to the time of Jesus Christ coming. And what it is telling us, the word dispensation is giving us the idea that time and event throughout the past thousands or millions of years, it has been managed by God. Events, nation, individual, tribes, did not just galangso. Everything was being managed by God. God had an oversight. That's what the word dispensation is implying. The word dispensation is talking about management of, the oversight of, the administration of. Telling us all the years that gone by. May I? For when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Fullness of time, yes. Why Jesus Christ didn't come 5 years before the time he came? He could not. The world was not ready for him. Why Jesus Christ didn't come 5 years after he came? He could not. Are we all there? Rome. The power of Rome. Rome built roadways to different parts of Europe and other places for its conquest. The Roman leaders, from emperors to emperors, never dreamt that the Almighty God was in the mix, because those roads became highways to take the gospel of Christ to various parts of the world. The very road that was built for Roman conquest. The Almighty God was behind the scene, knowing that those roads will take the gospel of Christ. Paul and Peter would be traveling on those roads to preach Christ and him crucified. The Roman legal system, are we all there? To create some degree of stability in the world. And that degree of stability, which was brought about by the Roman legal system, helped to protect Christianity. You don't believe me? Run to Acts of the Apostles 25, verse 11 and 21. Run to the book of Acts of the Apostles 26, verse 39. You don't believe me? That the Roman legal system created a social and political stability that was help for Christianity. And that's no accident. What am I talking about? I'm still talking about the dispensation of the fullness of time. That is the management that the Almighty God employed in guiding history and having everything in place for Jesus Christ, Christianity, and for Christ's church to come in the world. What did you say about Roman legal system? That it created a state of social and political stability, and that was a plus for Christianity? Yes, and that it is no accident. Did I say Romans, Acts of the Apostle 25 and verse 11 and verse 21?
For if I be an offender.
Paul is before one of these local leaders. For if I be an offender,
or have committed anything worthy
of death, if I committed any crime worthy of
death, I refuse not to die.
I will submit myself for you to kill me if I am guilty. Read.
But if there be none of these things,
but if you can't find me guilty on any of these things,
whereof these accuse me,
whereof my enemies accuse me,
no man may deliver me unto them.
No man may deliver me unto them. Watch him now, watch him now.
I appeal unto Caesar.
You get that? You get that? As a Roman citizen, he had the privilege to utilize the protection that the law of Rome gave him. The local leader, I don't remember if it's Felix or Festus, that he was before there. They could not deprive him of this right. Brothers and sisters, that was an awesome privilege for Christianity, that Paul could appeal to Caesar. Because had this system not in place, everyone who preached the gospel could easily be wiped out and no accountability. You think this reaching this stage of Roman legal system where a citizen of Rome could appeal to the top was any accident? The Almighty God, who was, what word it used there, brother? Dispensation. Remember, when you see dispensation in this passage, it means management. It means supervision. It means administering. And what that is telling us, that for the thousands and thousands of ages and events that are past, the Almighty God was in the mix, guiding them, managing them, administering them. To see that the end result produced exactly what the Almighty God wants. Look at verse 21. Quick, brother, we are coming down to the close.
But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus,
mm-hmm.
I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar.
That's right. Wait. The crowd wanted to tear Paul apart. For what? He preached Jesus Christ and Christianity. But Festus or Felix had no choice but to keep him safe and to send him on a ship to Rome to see Caesar. Oh God, that was no accident. That was no accident. So as I've said, as I wrap up, that in this phrase, the dispensation of the fullness of time, it is telling us that which was once God's mystery is that the epoch-making period in history, that is, those different times in history when great, some of them terrible things happened, the Almighty God had never turned his back against the world. He was always guiding history and event, using and directing nation, tribes, using and directing individual, using and directing country, preparing the world for Jesus Christ, the church, and Christianity. God has always been in the mix. Hence, the dispensation of the fullness of time, the supervision, the management that God employed in time. Brothers and sisters, it is telling us that of all the past times and history, when and where the succession of the ages has come, it must come to a point where God will finally merge everything in Jesus Christ. And you know what, brothers and sisters? At the end of this fullness of time, everything going to happen to fulfill and to bring about what the Almighty God wants. I said we are living in the fullness of time. I didn't say that the fullness of time is complete. The fullness of time is still going on now. We are living in that period. And if you read verse 10 again, don't read it again, but if you will read it, it will tell you or show you that God is still at work guiding things toward his goal and his objective. Thanks to God for the God that he is. Thanks to know that God has not turned his back on the world. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what you see going on in the world. It doesn't matter how the world looks like nobody is in charge. It doesn't matter what upheaval and confusion we see. I beg you to remember that the Almighty God, according to this passage and according to the word, the dispensation of the fullness of time, it is telling that God is managing every event, however they may look to you and me. God is guiding, managing, and directing them so that at the end, they will achieve God's goal, and you know who has goal? In the interest and benefit of God's people. If you are here today, why don't you become a part of Christ's church? Because that is part of the one body that the passage tells us about. You can become a Christian today. Even that, God's plan of salvation, that is the way God planned to save man. God worked out that before the world was created. That Christianity is of such, that is naked, plain New Testament Christianity. You know what? It is practicable anywhere that human lives. Only God could have given us a Christianity that is like this. He gives us a worship that is simple and it is practicable anywhere in the world that man lives. He gives us a plan of salvation where men and women can become Christian the Bible's way anywhere that human being lives. And you know what? Christianity is some 2,000 years old. And nothing about it needs to be adjusted. That is, if it is true New Testament Christianity. If it is man-made Christianity, then from time to time they have to have revision. From time to time they have to have changes. Because what they practice 100 years ago become outdated, but not with true New Testament Christianity. you can become a Christian the Bible's way. Today, you can become a part of the body of Christ, the church that Christ says, upon this rock, yes, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You can become a part of Christ's church today. Hearing the gospel, hearing that Jesus Christ died for you. Yes, that's where you get started, by hearing the gospel. By being taught the fundamentals of the truth of Jesus Christ. When you hear the gospel, are you a Christian? No. You must accept it. You must embrace it. You must believe it. And you know what? The Bible gives us the truth that when you accept the gospel, you will move on to obeying it. That is, when you truly believe what the gospel said, that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and that you must become dead to sin. Brother Mitchell, you are confusing me. It's not confusing. Christ died for your sin. You believe that? If you believe it, you must believe it strongly enough that you will repent of your sin. That's what the Bible means when it talks about dead to sin. You do not permit sin to control your life anymore. You permit Christ and the gospel to. When a man or a woman believes to the extent that he or she wants to repent, you are dead to sin. Are you a Christian when you repent? No. You must move on to the point where you will confess faith in Christ. Meaning, Mr. Mitchell, you must not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian when you confess faith in Christ? No. You must be buried with Christ. But Mr. Mitchell, you're mad. Christ was buried 2,000 years ago. What do you all say? Well, I didn't want to read any other passage, brother. Quick. No, you're holding up the sermon. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Somebody need to hear that. Quick. Somebody's taking me up and being buried with Christ. Read from verse 3, quick.
Know ye not?
Don't you know?
That so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ.
What? Were what?
Were baptized into his death.
Were what?
Baptized into his death.
Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into?
His death.
His death. Wait. Here's the idea. Jesus Christ shed his saving blood at his death. You must spiritually or symbolically get in that death to benefit from his blood. Here, God's word, revelation, is telling you that the means that God has for you to do that is getting baptized into his death. Notice here now.
Therefore, we are buried.
We are buried
with him.
Wait, brother. You are teasing me to preach another sermon. I need another hour. We are buried. Notice the word with him. With him whom? With Christ. You are becoming one with Jesus Christ in his redeeming act. What did Jesus Christ do to redeem you? Jesus Christ died. Am I right? Yes. He was buried. Am I right? Yes. He was resurrected. Am I right? Yes. You must die with Christ. That is repentance. You must be buried with Christ. That is baptism. You must be resurrected with Christ. That is coming from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. Now say no. Now say so.
Yes. As Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
By baptism.
By baptism that like us.
Into death.
Was raised from the dead even.
By the glory of the Father.
Even.
Even so.
We shall walk in newness of life. No man or woman can really become new in God's sight until after you believe, repent, and get baptized. We are saying to you today, Christ, your coming here today is not by accident. Christ brought you here to hear this lesson. Become a Christian today, believing in him, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in him, getting baptized. And notice when it talks about baptism, it used the word we. There must be a solidarity between you and Christ. Let us stand as the brother comes with a song.
Turn with me to 525. 525. If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Of the soul, blessed kingdom of life, free from all care, and where falleth no night. Oft in the storm, we are sighing for thee. Beautiful Lamb of the ransom besought, the crystal sea.
All the provision the Almighty God made down through the ages, guiding history, managing event, people, government, and whatever, so as to bring Christ, Christianity, and the church in the world. All of it was about you. God loves and cares for you. That your salvation, your eternal peace was well planned and worked out by God.
Amen.
He was involved in all the events of history. To get Christ, die for your sin, to get Christianity preached, and to get the church. Today you can respond to the love and mercy of God. If you are a Christian who have grown weak, you have backslidden, or you are backsliding, there is no better time to come and recommit your life to Christ than now. Today, because he gives us today, not tomorrow. We are here to sit and talk with you if you have needs that Christ can help you with. As we sing, Christ in love and mercy is saying, come.